Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. Today is a really fun episode. It's with these three boys who have a podcast called The Lodka Room, which I've been on now twice. And the last time we were recording, I was just like, wait a second. You're three guys. You're pretty cool. You should probably come on We Met at Acme and we should probably chat. And so they did. And today is that episode for you. And it's really chill. It's like you're listening in on a conversation with friends. It is good vibes. I always love the episodes where it is like just normal people. No shade to any celebrities or influencers. I think those are great too. But these make me feel a little bit more comfortable. And I wonder if you agree. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on the episode. But before we get into that, I'm going to answer a few of your questions. The first thing I want to talk about actually before I get into the questions, I made a comment on this episode about how if someone has a selfie with Dave Portnoy, it's like a red flag for me. And that people who like get their news from Barstool are like not the guys for me. And while that might hold true, I have to say that I met Dave Portnoy in the flesh last weekend in the Hamptons at the Surf Lodge. And I went up to him and I was just like, hey, I just wanted to say hi. I have a podcast about dating and you should totally check it out. And he was a really nice guy. And I now feel bad that I said that because he was nice. Like, I don't know him personally. Like, maybe he's not that nice, but he was nice to me. So I will now say that maybe it's not a red flag if somebody is someone who worships him because he has built a huge empire and that's amazing. I think I just don't like the misogyny of Barstool in general, which I think many of you can agree with. Okay, moving on. Why do men take longer to say I love you? I actually don't think that this is true. I think that, I mean, at least in my perspective, I have never said I love you first to a man. I've had men who take longer than I would have, meaning like I loved them already. And then they said it like 3 months later and that's annoying. But I think it's because like we don't give enough credit to men in this case. Like men do take those words really seriously and so do women. But I feel as if men especially do because at least every man that's ever said I love you to me was like really in it, except for one shitty guy. But I think that these are serious words and they are to be taken seriously. And men sometimes are more logical and practical than women. And we are more emotion driven. And so maybe we say it as soon as we feel it and they say it, they feel it, right? And then they analyze, okay, I feel that I love this person, but should I say it? What are the implications of me saying it? Now, am I going to fart in front of her and vice versa? For men, I feel like I love you means it is a promise in a way. It's like, I promise to be with you and I'm considering spending my life with you. But for women, it's just like, I love you. I feel that way. But I feel like because the man is like traditionally the guy to propose and whatever, saying I love you is a bigger step, if that makes any sense. Handling the ebbs and flows of sex in long-term relationships. Yeah, I mean, it ebbs and flows. It is very real, but I really think, and again, this is from my experience, everyone is different, but if I wasn't having sex for like over a week, like if I went a week or 2 weeks without having sex with my partner in a long-term relationship, that would not be good for me because physical touch is a huge love language for both of us. And I would think like, why can't we take time out of our busy schedules to like do something that we're both going to feel really amazing after and feel connected. And so I would say, you know, when you're in a lull, like just acknowledge that once you do end up having sex, it's going to feel that much better and be that much more exciting because you had so long apart. But try to get ahead of the lulls. Like I love just like putting on a little lingerie once in a while because I feel like, why not? You know, like it's not going to hurt me. It's going to turn him on, whatever. And so do that. Or if there's something that you like your partner to do, like if you're like, oh, like grab me in the morning and like, you know, because I love morning sex or whatever it is, make sure you're communicating about that. When is it reasonable to push your significant other to ring shop and when is too much? I mean, that already sounds too much. Like, why are you pushing your significant other to ring shop? I actually was just with my amazing friend and manager and we were talking and she was joking about how she asked her partner, like, I think like 2 months before he proposed. Now they're married with a baby, the cutest baby. But she was like, you know, what's the deal? Like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, every time you ask me, it's going to be longer. And I honestly respect that because it's like not cute to ask your partner to ring shop or this or that. Like, it's one thing to have a conversation. Like, what do you see our future like? But like, don't force them into ring shopping. Like, let them do that on their own time. It's first of all, expensive. And second of all, a huge commitment. And if a guy asked me when I was going to ring shop for him, I would never do it because I'd be like, you're disgusting. And I will do that when I want to, you know, it's like asking for your birthday gift. Like, no, I'll get it for you when I want to get it for you. Think about if it were reverse, like how would you feel if your partner was like, can you ring shop? Engagement timing. I feel like all you guys want to talk about is engagement. And like, I get it. Is there a downside to dating longer, like 3 to 5 years before? I will say, I think there's a sweet spot. I think like 2 years or like maybe a little under 2 years is a sweet spot. It can't be less than a year. In my opinion, you need like to experience all four seasons with this person. But I think when you're older, and I mean like after 28 and above, not calling that old because I'm almost 31, but you just know yourself a little bit better. And I think waiting 3+ years is potentially red flaggy. It's just like, what are you waiting for? You know, like what else is going to happen? Feeling the hit of the pandemic and not feeling your best, how to build confidence. For me, this begins with being good to my mind and body, and like they go hand in hand. And so when I'm eating like shit, which I do like pretty much every Sunday without fail, I end up feeling so shitty about myself. And when I'm eating healthy, which is like, you know, during the week, or at least I try, I'm feeling really good about myself. So being good to my body and what I put in it, and then exercising really helps my mental health as well. It doesn't have to be something crazy like berries. It could be something little like a walk, you know, that really is where like the confidence begins. And then also like being someone who you would admire if they were in your life, right? Like doing acts of service for people and showing up for people in your life, going above and beyond, checking in with a friend that might not know that you care. Maybe they just had a baby. Maybe they're planning a wedding and they're really stressed, and just telling them like you're thinking of them. Whatever it is, like, I know it sounds cheesy, but it really, it all builds confidence. And then also, like, go on a bunch of dates and assume none of them are going to work out, because then you'll be confident when some of them do. Why I never say I love you more. Okay, this was a note to myself. This is interesting. I never, like, whenever my partner and I go back and forth, like, I love you, I love you. Like, he'll be like, I love you so much. And I'll be like, I love you too. But I never will be like, I love you more. Like, I love you more. Or like, you know, like, I just don't feel like, and we talk about this in this episode with someone saying like, you're so pretty, and then responding with like, thank you, you're so handsome. It's like, just like, let them love you. And like, you don't need to tell them you love them more. Also, like, how do you know that's true? Like, how do you know? You know, how do you know? I don't know that I love him more, but it's almost my instinct. Like, when a friend is like, I love you, I'm like, love you more. And that's always what I'm going to say to a friend, because like, that's cute and sweet. But with my partner, I would never say I love you more. It's just like not natural. And it's creepy to me. Like, first of all, I don't love him more. He better fucking love me more, you know? And so I'll never say it back. And that's just a weird thing, but I wanted to tell you that. Lastly, somebody asked about the ratio of girls to guys who are single in NYC. This came up because we had this mixer this week, and we had to like actively work to make sure the ratio was equal. And the reason is not because there are less single guys in the city, but because there are less single guys in the city who are willing to go to a dating event. Like, you have to realize guys have a lot of pride, and they never want to admit that like they would need help dating. And girls don't. Not that they don't have pride, don't get me wrong, but they are not afraid to put themselves out there and be vulnerable. And that's just the difference between guys and girls generally. So I don't think that the ratio is off. I think that either guys don't know about things like this because they don't follow We Men at Acme, or they're afraid to admit that they need a little hand meeting a girl. So those are my thoughts. And I really hope you enjoy this episode with these boys. Last weekend, I got to go to the most stunning event. It was a Saqqara dinner at the Surf Lodge, and everything, as you can imagine, was stunning, like down to every last detail. There were flowers, there were oranges, a beautiful menu that Saqqara did with the Surf Lodge, and the food was delish. And it was actually the first time I tried the Saqqara Caesar salad with the dressing that Saqqara makes. It was delicious. If you haven't heard about Saqqara already, it's a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you eat. So they've got probiotics, they've got ready-to-eat, chef-crafted, plant-based meals for breakfast, lunches, and dinners. They've got beauty drops. They have metabolism super powder. They've got metabolism bars. Like, along with all of their amazing plant-rich meals, they offer daily wellness essentials. Like, as I mentioned, the probiotics, supplements, herbal teas to support your nutrition, like detox tea, which is amazing. And I like to have it in between meals so that I'm not like snacking on gross things, which is my usual. And you can really experience the transformative power of plants with their best-selling metabolism super powder. It's made with organic raw cacao, and it works to boost your energy, eliminate bloating, minimize sugar cravings, and reduce fatigue. Like, everybody loves Saqqara. If you hear me talk about it all the time, don't you want to try it out for yourself? Saqqara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to saqqara.com/acme. and enter code ACME20 at checkout. That's Saqqara, SAKARA.com/ACME to get 20% off your first order. Saqqara.com/ACME. Also, I have to say, everyone that works for Saqqara is an amazing person. So you got to support this company. They support the podcast and I support them. The biggest question that I get is, how do you work out and shower with your jewelry? And the answer is because it's Mejuri. Like, I don't have to worry about it being cheap and it's going to like rust or whatever cheap jewelry does, because my Mejuri jewelry is always perfect, even after I shower or work out. and like my hair doesn't get caught in it. There's just something about it. It's just, it's fine jewelry and it's for every day. And it's not just, we're not just saying it's for every day. Like you actually can shower with it. You actually can work out with it. And there's no traditional 10 times markups. You're getting fairly priced, handcrafted, ethically sourced, and made to last jewelry. It's 14 karat solid gold staples that don't wear out or scratch easily. Like I've been wearing my jewelry for 2 years, 2+ years, and there's no scratches on it. I personally love their Zodiac stuff because duh, especially the bracelet. I wear my Libra bracelet every day. And then I love their rings too. Like the stackable ones are great. They've also got sterling silver, freshwater pearls, and milestone pieces, which, I mean, you don't need a reason to buy jewelry and to celebrate yourself. You can, if like you're confused about where to get started when it comes to jewelry, they actually have live chat with a Mejuri stylist one-on-one on their website. So head to Mejuri.com/acme and you'll get 10% off your first order. That's Mejuri.com/acme for 10% off your first order. Mejuri.com/acme. Treat yourself.
Hi, I'm Allie Webb, the founder of Dry Bar.
Hey, I'm Adrian Kaler, the founder of Take New Ground.
Previously on Raising the Bar, Michael and I learned how founders moved from idea to scale. In this new season, we'll be exploring the inner world of an entrepreneur, the juicy stuff.
Pursuing a vision brings up fear and personal challenges, the stuff that nobody likes to talk about. So we dive into what it takes to overcome the obstacles that make most people quit. This is a study on perseverance.
Adrian is a coach for select executives. I love his brilliant mind and deep love for people, including me.
So if you're starting a business and already want out, tune in. You might not be as alone as you think.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I am so excited to be here with the boys from the Lodka Room. Hey boys.
What's up? Hey. Long time coming.
I know. So I have actually been on their wonderful podcast twice now. Thank you for having me. And I think it's just about time that they come on We Met at Acme because we've had such great conversations. And I feel like we would be doing a disservice to my listeners to not air them here. What do you guys think?
I'm honestly super nervous because I've been listening to you for like a year on this podcast. And, you know, as you know, my girlfriend turned me on to this and her friends turned me on to this podcast. So when you posted like questions for the Locker Room Boys, I'm honestly very terrified at what my friends could have submitted.
Oh, there was a lot of submissions. There were a lot of submissions that I knew for a fact were from your friends because they made zero sense.
okay.
And I'll be pulling them up at some point, but I want to go through you guys one by one and just do a little background, starting with Johnny. How old are you and where are you from?
25, from Sasa, Long Island. And I still currently live at home with mom and dad. I'm sure that's going to come up. So I'd rather get out of the way now.
Thank you for your transparency. Yeah. And Cappy.
25. I'll be 26 in October. And currently from Florida, Coral Springs, more specifically. And I'm living with my girlfriend right now during the summers.
Awesome. And what about you, Max?
I'm also 25. I lost my voice on Saturday. I live in the city and I am single.
So wait, don't Max, smoke. What were you yelling at the Mets game that you lost your voice? Like, were you telling them like what to do? Were you yelling at them? Were you yelling at the opponent?
Well, to start, it was cheering. I went with Laz and a bunch of my buddies. We did like the Barstool at the Park like package, which include, it's like a ticket that includes drinks and food. So it's like, if you're looking for deals, like us Jewish people look for,
yeah,
it was a great deal.
Wait, that's so funny. Does that have to do with Barstool?
Yeah, they organize it, but they don't go to it though.
I see. So that's actually a good segue because I'm curious, guys. Like, do you regularly read Barstool?
Not read, but listen.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like back in the maybe a couple of years back, I kind of I wasn't like a stoolie, how they would say themselves, but like I would like watch like a lot of their videos, to be honest with you, just like their recaps of the week. I used to love all the different personalities and stuff like that. But from like a reading like blogs and articles standpoint, no.
Yeah. The reason I ask is because I would like immediately be like, oh, that's a red flag. Like if this is a guy that like worships like Dave Portnoy, and don't get me wrong, like he's fucking hilarious and he has like created such an empire. But anytime I would be like single and dating and I would go to their profile, and this is weirdly common, I swear to you, there would be like a selfie they took with Dave Portnoy.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? Now I have to lay you to rest. And it sucks because like, I thought you were like, you know, an intelligent guy and you're just like a Barstool fan, you know, but I don't know, maybe I'm being tough.
No, I think it's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is when you're on like Instagram or Twitter, they own those platforms. So you always see them.
Yes, that's true. I mean, you definitely can't escape. That's for sure. So
I like Dave though. I don't. It's not so much of like a like love the guy. I think it's more of just like a respect, like all he's done kind of thing. Like look at where like how far the guy's made it from, like basically like coming from nothing, like how he started. So it's more like not like an obsession, but I know people who are obsessed, and that's kind of a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Like, I like that he like owns his shit. Like when that like sex tape came out of him, he was like, "Yeah, it's me. I have sex." You know, he was like, "What?" Yeah. Like, you know, he didn't really let it become a thing. He was just like, "Yeah, I have sex." Like,
yeah, it takes a certain man to be able to do that. That's for sure. Not everybody could do that. I couldn't do that for sure.
Yeah.
Unless you looked amazing in the video, like he did. He looked great, I thought.
I mean, you couldn't really see anything, so I guess that was to his favor. But I want to ask you guys, Cappy, you mentioned it briefly because you said something about turning, I think, 26 in October. When are all of your birthdays? We've done this, I think, on your podcast, but I just want to know for our listeners.
Yeah. So October 26th, I'm a Scorpio, if that's what we're getting at.
We are. Mm-hmm. And Johnny?
I'm March 22nd. I'm Aries, as you know. And yes. I do want to say too, because I knew this question was coming, I was actually born on my mom's 30th birthday. So we had the same birthday, which is cool. Wow. Exactly 30 years apart. Yeah.
Wait, that's really cute. And what about you, Max?
May 1st. So I'm a Taurus.
Cute. You have to come to our mixers. You know that, right?
I didn't know you had.
Okay, I'll tell you all about them after this. You're too busy yelling at Mets games and losing your voice. But,
that's probably a red flag.
Literally. Just being a Mets fan might be a red flag. Well, actually, that's not true. I think my boyfriend might be a Mets fan.
Well, we know he's a Knicks fan, which is cool.
Oh, he's not. Okay, but what are you that we're not? Oh, Jets. He's a Jets fan.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a Giants fan. So that's like where we, you know, we don't agree.
We love that. Mm-hmm. Big year for the Giants.
Was it? I don't actually follow. I'm like a fake fan.
No, like this coming year is a big year for the Giants.
Oh, okay, cool. I just remember, so we won when I was in high school and it was like the most lit night in the city ever. Mm-hmm. Like people were like flipping cars over. Like it was wild. It was so much fun. And I feel like, have Jets like ever experienced that? Like Jets fans?
Not in our lifetime.
Okay, so a lot of your friends did submit questions. I guess we should weed out which ones are from your friends versus real. One person who probably is your friend said, how do you build your boys? Who is this? Do you know?
Is that question from Zach Monson?
No, it's from Jordy Bloom.
Oh, okay. Well, he runs Build Your Boys. It's like a clothing brand that he started. I don't know. It's just a thing that he's been trying to build up. But, you know, basically our podcast, what we're all about, like, you know, we just like to hype up the people who come on our show. Like, you know, obviously, Lindsay, whenever you do something cool, like we're promoting you. And like, that's what we've kind of built. Like, we're trying to build like kind of our own family. And you know, anyone who does the service of coming on our show, like, we'll just support the shit out of them. Like, whatever they do, like, that's what we're all about. It's like building our own little community. Because that's like, you know, the premise of what we started. Cappy and I felt like, you know, the Jewish world was very similar with the hockey world. And like everyone kind of knows everyone and we just want to see everyone succeed. And that's kind of like what we've done with our show and our podcast and just like kind of everything we do in our day to day.
I want to get into, and Max, we're going to talk about some single stuff for you, but we'll start with Cappy. How did you meet your girlfriend and how long have you been dating?
So I actually met my girlfriend in elementary school. We grew up basically in the same town. I lived like two neighborhoods down from her. We were basically part of the same friend group growing up. We were really close friends. Thankfully, like I still have that same friend group today, which was really nice, especially like when I went away to play hockey, I always had them and like Court was back with them. So I always like knew what was going on. So that's when we met. We didn't start dating until the summer going into my sophomore year of high school. So we just celebrated our 9 years a couple months ago.
Whoa. And,
yes, I know. So long, but she's amazing and it's been great.
When's her birthday?
Her birthday is September 18th.
Wow.
I thought for sure you were going to mess that up.
I love a September born.
What do you mean?
Person.
We got a Virgo, yeah.
A Virgo. Yeah, she's a Virgo. You're a Scorpio. It's a good match. So you've been dating for 9 years. You're 25. You're almost 26. Do you feel like pressure, because it's just been such a long amount of time, to get engaged kind of younger than you normally would as someone in a relationship at your age?
Honestly, not really. Because I just feel like the situation that like just like we've been a part of throughout like our whole relationship has kind of been like much different from everybody else's. And I feel like everybody's relationship is kind of different in that sense. Like, you know, some people are in a rush to get married. Some people aren't. Like, we know that like we're going to be with each other for the rest of our lives for the most part. And honestly, it's more just about both of us being financially stable and in a place where we could both be with each other for like a consistent amount of time. So that's like, because I play professional hockey, that's like, you know, and she's a manager at Lululemon. And thankfully, you know, with that job, she can fluctuate with her work and move to, you know, basically wherever she needs to. So it's more so like making sure I'm locked down at a place for at least a year where she can come and live with me and we could be in that situation and be financially stable where we're not worried about money and stuff like that. But I mean, she's really cool. And if it was like something that was urgent in a rush, she's the kind of person that would tell me. And it's not like that. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's just interesting because like, I'm sure you don't get it, but I'm sure when she's like, yeah, you know, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 9 years, people are like giving it to her. They're like, okay, so where's your ring? Okay, so when are you getting engaged, you know? And that's just annoying. But I like that you're not in a rush, because the reality is like, you have so much time, and like, just because you've been together for a certain amount of time doesn't mean you need to be married. But I do have friends who like, you know, were together for let's say 9 years before getting engaged, and they just like got married, like let's say at 25 or 26, but then they had like a married life before having a kid and like had a kid at a normal time, right? Like 31, 32, whenever people have kids. So I think as long as you're happy, that's all that matters.
Don't get me wrong too. Like for sure, like I can't even imagine from her standpoint, the amount of people that come up to her and like, oh, like how long have you and your boyfriend been together? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, when are you getting married? Like all this stuff. Like I'm sure it's like, I'm sure it's crazy from that standpoint. But like I said before, like everybody's different. And between us, like it's going to happen sooner than later. Like that's for sure.
Ooh, it's not really between us. But...
Between us and the podcast. Yeah.
between us and her and all of her friends.
And everyone listening.
Not like super soon, but like within the year, like I realize like I know it needs to get done and stuff like that. Like within the year, like it needs to like for sure happen. Well, I mean,
that's great that like you guys at least talk about it and know that it's going to end up in marriage, which is nice. Johnny, let's talk about your relationship. How did you meet your wonderful partner who introduced you to my podcast?
You'll appreciate this story. So I actually DM'd her and she had a boyfriend. She's actually in the other room, so she's probably listening to me say this right now. I'm in her apartment in New York City, but I DM'd her and this is what I said. I said, I heard you think I'm hot. Never met her in my life. I don't even know why I was following her to begin with, but you know, I figured I'd shoot my shot.
Did you actually hear that?
No, made it up. Huh. And I also had like no front teeth. So this was just like, you know, a different time. But 2 weeks later, she responded, you heard wrong. Ha ha ha. So like, that was kind of like our banter or whatever. And then like, fast forward 7 months, I was standing in line at Southampton Social in the Hamptons. And one of my friends called my name and she was like, who's Johnny Lazarus? And I was like, I am. Oh my God, you're Ellie. And then we just started talking and we shared an Uber to what was at the time called AM, a different bar in Southampton.
Yeah, I remember.
And then we ended up like separating for the night. And then she posted an Instagram like that following Monday. And I just commented on it, miss you. And then she DM'd me. And then from there, we started hanging out. And
that's hilarious. You played that very well. That's really funny. I will say though that you just like DMing her out of the blue. It's like, how did you, like, first of all, how'd you even, like, you just saw her on Instagram and you were like.
No. So we had mutual friends. Okay. My high school prom date was her big in college. So that's like kind of how I like knew of her. And then a girl that I had gone to sleepaway camp with ended up being her roommate. So there was like a lot of different walks of life where like, you know, I always just saw her like on Instagram, I guess, like with my friends.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to DM this girl. Like, I've never met her. I have nothing to lose. Like, what do I care? You know?
It's so funny. And also, I just want to clarify, Johnny said he had no front teeth because he plays hockey. Like,
not anymore.
Okay. He did play hockey.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a lot of where their podcast began. But he now has fake teeth.
Yeah. These four.
There you go. But he can take them out at any moment.
No, not anymore. These are these are my new teeth.
Oh, wow. Congrats. Do you miss being able to take out your teeth?
Everyone else does, but I don't now.
Uh-huh.
It was a big hit at the bar, but
yeah.
Especially now in the COVID world, thinking back of like, have you seen the movie This Is 40 with Megan Fox and Leslie Mann when like they go to the bar and the like Philadelphia Flyers are there and Megan Fox puts the teeth in her mouth?
Yeah.
I used to do that all the time at bars. And like thinking now with COVID and everything, that's like really fucking disgusting. But it was fun.
That is vile, but it's a good party trick. I also think it's so funny because like, it's like, yeah, you had mutual friends, but basically like the gist is that you saw her photos and you thought she was hot and you wanted to get in touch with her. I was recently at an engagement party and I was talking to my friend who it's his engagement party, his mom. And she was telling us the story about how she met her husband. And, you know, it was way back in the day and they were in like Belgium or something. And he had seen a photo, like he was like going through someone's wedding album with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw her in the photo of like people having fun at the wedding. And he like found her from like that photo. And that's like the old version of Instagram, literally. It's just like, that's how people would meet. It's like, you'd see someone in a photo and be like, who's that? Like, I want to meet them. They're pretty. And it's basically the same thing. So I just think like Instagram gets so much shit, but like, it's so good for that reason.
It's the best dating app out there.
It really is. I recently stopped focusing on the social media business and started focusing more on the podcast business. And I have to tell you, it's just as much work, if not more. And you have to create like real legit content and you have to get creative. We're doing these mixers now. And like, I have to use apps like Canva and InDesign in order to make these cool flyers. And it's hard. But when I use Issue, which is an all-in-one platform to create amazing digital content, so like marketing materials, magazines, flipbooks, like Instagram graphics, whatever it is, it's honestly seamless. Issue makes your content better because it works with tools that you already use, like Canva, like I just mentioned, like Dropbox, and like InDesign. And you make it once and you can distribute it everywhere, like to all of your channels without having to reformat it, which is so easy. And did I mention it's free if you want it to be? Or you can use premium features and have a more customized experience. So get started with Issue today for free. Or if you sign up for a premium account, you will get 50% off when you go to issuu.com/podcast and use the promo code ACME. That's issuu.com/podcast, promo code ACME at checkout for your free account or for 50% off your premium account. Start making epic content today. As you may or may not know, my boyfriend and I found an apartment in May and moved in, and it was like our first apartment together. And it is now August 29th, and we have still not finished decorating this apartment. And you know what? It's really hard because so much furniture, first of all, it's really hard to design your apartment. And second of all, furniture just usually does not come on time. And then we found Article. You've probably heard of Article already, but I hadn't. And so many people recommended it to me. And I was like, oh, how had I never seen this before? Article is unbelievable. I mean, they combine like the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort of shopping online. Their team of designers focus on only like really beautifully crafted pieces, quality materials, and durable construction. So this is basically like having an interior designer without having an interior designer, and they're fair prices. Like you save up to 30% over traditional retail prices. Article is able to keep their prices low because they cut out the middleman and they sell directly to you. No showrooms, no salespeople, no retail markups. It's really amazing. We just ordered the Nova Winter Gray Daybed and the Bovey Pearl Blue Rug and the Mara Oak Side Table for our home office, which I'm really, really excited for. And it's coming any day now. So I will show you all of it once it does come. And Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more, which is an epic deal. You go to article.com/acme and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/acme to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. You don't have to worry about furnishing when you check out Article. It's really awesome. I want to talk to you guys about White Lotus and I want to talk to you guys about Bachelorette, but I know that not all of us are up to speed here. So, Cappy, you're the one that put me on to White Lotus, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the finale yet?
Oh, yeah. I watched it last night. Oh, my God.
So, if you haven't watched this, skip ahead. But if you have, stick with us for a second. What did you think?
It was amazing. I mean, I think Doug Ellen posted something on like his Instagram today and was like, I wish I could have made a show like this or something like that because It was so good. I mean, the ending was crazy. I had to give my girlfriend Courtney a shout out because she called like throughout the whole day because obviously the finale came out last night. Throughout the whole day, she was talking about Armand like, oh, I think he's going to be the one that died. Like, oh, he's going to overdose. Oh, he's going to die. Mm-hmm. And like, because like we were talking about throughout like the weeks, like, oh, who do you think's going to die this week? Who do you think's going to die next week? And we kind of forgot about him. We really didn't think like he wasn't one of the guys we had on our list. I thought it was going to be the son. I kept thinking the son was going
to
die.
I thought Quinn at first too, but I have to say, so my boyfriend and I were talking about it and he actually made a really good point, which kind of threw me off to thinking it was Armand. He was like, why would Armand be on their plane back to New York?
Exactly.
Right. And I was like, wait, you're right. But now that we saw it, I was like, he was on the plane to Honolulu. He was on the plane to the Big Island, which then he can go to Australia or wherever he's from, right?
Exactly.
And so it all does make sense. I wonder what your thoughts on like Quinn staying there.
Honestly, I thought it was like good for him because I mean, throughout the whole show, he's socially awkward, kind of, you know, didn't really know what his place was. And then obviously finds like these guys and the whole canoeing thing. Like that's kind of what he wanted to do from a parent standpoint. I mean, you know, we've talked like I left home when I was 15 years old. So it's like, sometimes you got to do shit like that and just stay behind. But kind of the way he did it in a sense, like just like ditching his parents at the last second on the plane, like kind of scummy. But like, I mean, his parents wouldn't have let him leave if he didn't do that.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised I didn't go after him. And then lastly, and then we'll get into more dating stuff. What did you think of the girls just like being friends again after what happened?
That whole relationship like between those two was just like so weird the whole entire show. It was like so sketchy. I didn't know like what was going to happen, to be honest with you, with like their whole friendship and just like with like her in general. Like, was she going to rat out her friend for like the whole like Kai stealing the jewelry and the bank safe?
Yeah.
But at the end, like, yeah, her just like when she like hugged her in the bed and like was basically like kind of like, I understand like, oh, everything's like, well, now everything's back to normal now. Like after like she said, like, I'm not your friend, like all this stuff, but just so weird.
So weird. I feel like Olivia was like kind of in love with her or something.
Yes. Right. I could definitely see that.
Anyway, going back to dating and some of the questions that came up for you guys. Somebody asked, when do guys decide to go exclusive with a girl? What causes you to make that shift? Feel free to take this on, anyone.
Well, it's funny because I DM'd you about this the other day. Like, what's the difference between like being exclusive and dating? It's like, it's just like a bigger word, you know, it's kind of the same thing.
Right. I feel like exclusive, and I've said this so many times on the podcast, is just like a cop out. Like, it's like, don't fuck anyone until I decide how I feel about you.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, like, me and Ellie had been hooking up for probably like 6-7 months before we decided to date. But like, you know, she studied abroad and that was like a big reason why we didn't want to date, because she wanted to like get that experience. And I obviously like didn't want to hold her back from that experience. But for guys, I think it's just more so when you, you know, for lack of better terms, like don't want to fuck anyone else. You know, it's kind of just like you're having fun and like you go out and you just only want to be with that one person. So that's kind of when you decide to date them or be exclusive, I guess, to answer the question.
Yeah.
I'll kind of chime in. I guess like for me, it's weird because I've been dating Court for so long. But like, it's like I've only been with two other girls and like had like two other like girlfriends, like not like obviously serious. So from a sense of like when you know like it's the one, it was kind of like our relationship was so weird. Like starting out, we were friends. We kind of like hated each other a little bit. It was like the stage of our relationship. And then like I was talking to another girl and I was very jealous that another guy had her. And then like once I had her, it was like, okay, I don't want anybody else. And then once I actually got to know her and know her family, it was like, you know, what else do I need at this point? She loves hockey. She loves me. Great family. Like it was just like everything added up kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm glad that you said loves hockey before you put loves me.
What were you going to say, Max?
I said, I'll give an answer from a different perspective as someone that's single. I'll say this. For me, like I'm definitely looking for a girlfriend now. I'm pretty tired of playing the field. And I think it's like once you're kind of like settled in and sick and tired of, you know, having to go out and not having a girlfriend or not having like a significant other, it kind of like once you start to hit like a certain age, you kind of feel like, okay, now it's kind of time. I feel it's mm-hmm. it's a maturity thing, and bars and the clubs, especially in New York City, everyone goes to the same spots over and over again. It starts to get really old. So you kind of look for something different and new.
Yeah. Yeah. Chelsea Handler has a funny segment on that. She's like, you just need to find, or no, not Chelsea. It's Amy Schumer. She's like, you just need to find a guy who's tired.
It's kind of true.
Someone asked this very classic question. I don't even know if I want to ask because it's so basic, but honestly, that might be a good thing. We might need this. Mm. How do you know if a guy likes you? Just like a basic answer.
Yeah. I mean, that's like as basic as it gets, but I want to say like, for me, it's so simple. Like it's just going out of your way. Like if a guy goes out of his way to see you, like he likes you. Like, I mean, just from my own personal experience, like, you know, I would drive an hour on a Sunday to go hang out with Ellie because I liked her. Like, I'm not doing that for a girl that I don't care about or like. I think it's just so, as basic as a question as that is, it's so obvious. And I think girls and even guys like question themselves so much about if someone likes them or not. But like, you can tell. And there's a quote, obviously, like, you know, in a sense, like people say, like, when you think about a friend, like you think what they would do for you, but it's not about that. It's what you would do for them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you like feel if you like somebody, like what you would do for that person. And I think a lot of people get mixed up in the thought of what they would do for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you would know better from a girl's perspective.
No,
about, like,
I agree with that. But I would amend that to say, like, it's what you're willing to, like, it's how far out of your way you're willing to go after you've already slept together.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true.
I say this, but there's a lot of different, like, ways that you could tell, like, if you like somebody, you know what I mean? There's just so many different things. So it's like hard to like pick one, you know what I mean? I mean, like, for my personal perspective, like every time I'm out or like I'm like shopping or doing something, I'm always like what does she want or what does she need? Or like if I come back, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if I come home without something, like I'm going to be, you know, screwed, or like just like something, a situation like that. I'm always like thinking about the person.
Yeah.
But Lindsay, I wanted to chime in on what you just said though, because I know so many couples, I feel like, that have slept together on the first date, and a lot of the relationship is built on like how good they are just sexually, like their chemistry sexually. And I feel like sometimes, I know, like just from following you for a long time, like you kind of, you know, make the point to not sleep together on the first date and like wait it out to like make them earn it or whatever. But I feel like sometimes that might add more pressure to the actual sex. Like if it's, you know, if you're going on 5-7 dates before you sleep together, it's kind of like built up. And if there's not a good performance, it almost like just ruins the whole thing. But, you know, if you sleep together right away and like the sexual chemistry is there, then sometimes I feel like that allows you to build like a natural chemistry once you have the sexual chemistry down.
I hear you. I just don't think that you're going to have the best sex the first time you have sex with someone. So like, I think either way, it's going to be like a letdown of sorts, because like the best situation is like your sex gets better and better as you get to know each other and like what your partner's like kinks are and what they're into and like where they like being touched and whatever it is. And so I feel like you're right. Like there could be a buildup to a disappointment and that sucks. And I've been there personally. Like I've like waited and then slept with them and been like, and now it's over. You know, yeah, and it sucks. But
I was hoping this would come up because like for me personally, I know that like it would be completely in my head if I hadn't slept with the girl like on the, you know, seventh date. Like I'd be thinking about it the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, there's always like there are situations where like you wait and then you sleep with them and then it sucks and it's not repairable. Like it's usually repairable. But like, you know, I don't feel like I need to elaborate. Like, you know,
Performance anxiety.
Sure. or just like a lack of things to work with. But, but I think that's, it's not a waste of time. You still got to know someone, you still had a good time with someone. And for me, like the big reason that I don't sleep with someone on a first date is because like, I don't want to, you know, like that's really what it comes down to. It's like, I like when the one time I did sleep with someone on a first date, I was turned off from them.
Interesting.
Just because I was like, this all just happened too fast. And now I'm like, not excited. So I think it's like totally about your vibe. Like, because I do hear you. Like, I do think like, if you get the sex over with at the beginning, like sometimes it's great. But also then sometimes you're like, okay, well now what?
What if it's like, what if you try like the reverse? Like have, you know, like sleep with each other on the first date and then like the next five dates don't have sex and then see how it goes.
That's fun.
Right. Yeah. That is fun.
That's how you can like kind of backstep if you did sleep together on the first date and you kind of regretted it.
Or like you'll know the other person like is so into you by like the fourth date. It's like, okay, like slept with me on the first one, you know, like, you know, it was that good. You know, you got to wait till the next time.
Right. Yeah. Or they're just like, I want sex again. I had a taste.
Exactly.
Somebody asked, do guys genuinely not care about girls gaining weight / being thicker?
Guys genuinely not care about girls?
No, I feel like, I mean, I honestly don't like care, but I feel like I've talked to guys who do care and I feel like a majority like do, to be honest with you. And I'm not going to throw anybody's name under the bus, but yeah, I don't know the reason why. I feel like from my perspective, it's always been more of like somebody like personality wise or somebody like who I'm more like into like that. But like, I don't know. I don't know what people's perspective is on it.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the majority of people probably do
care if a girl.
Like if I were to ask every single person in my friend group, I think they would probably say yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think it works the same way for girls too. Like, I mean, I know so many people, girls and guys who like, even now, like with social media too, like you know, my friends that are girls and guys, like I get DMs all the time of like maybe a friend who's put on a couple pounds and the girl who's put on a couple pounds. Like it just, and even me, like people tell me I look like shit. Like it just happens, you know, like people, I think some people are just too honest about it. But I mean, I definitely think it's something everyone thinks about. Like I constantly think about if I put on weight, like I think it's just, and not that it's a bad thing. Like I know plenty of people that put on weight and they're even happier. Like it's just kind of personal preference for some people and other people don't care about it.
Johnny, you mentioned like your friends that are girls. Somebody asked, can guys and girls be friends? Real talk. It seems like you have a lot of friends that are girls.
Yeah,
100%. I do. Yeah. 1000%. And I've actually told my girlfriend this, so I don't like feel bad saying it, but a lot of the girls that I've actually like have been with have become better friends like with me, I feel like. I don't know if that's like a bad thing or a good thing, but I've become like closer as friends with girls that I've been with, but I've also always put it out that I never wanted anything serious with girls. Like always, like Ellie's the first girl that I actually truly have like invested in. So I think right away the vibe that I gave off was like a friendship vibe. But for me, I've always like, I've had an older sister and my older sister is like my best friend in the world. So like, I've always been able to relate to girls. So for me, like I do a lot of girly things, I think, honestly. So it's like easy to relate to girls. And I've always
been
girlfriends. Yeah.
And this goes to all of you, if you were attracted to a girl, would it be hard to be friends with her?
It depends what the situation you're in. Are you like, so if you have a girlfriend and the girl's attractive, kind of, or like,
yeah, exactly.
Wait, are you saying if we have girlfriends and we have like if I'm dating Ellie, but I have a friend that's a girl that I find attractive, you're saying?
Exactly.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it's hard. No, I think it'd be harder if I was single and I was trying to be friends with, the girl and she was extremely attractive.
I was about to say 1,000%.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. Definitely harder if you're single. Cause you're definitely always thinking about it, you know?
Yeah. Like,
I
was going to say, I also like Laz, like I grew up around girls. I was playing hockey, but like my friend group, like I was extremely close with like a lot of girls growing up. So like I was always around it. And I feel like when you're like in situations like that growing up, it's different.
Yeah. I was going to add to that. Like I had a lot of friends that I was attracted to. And I was like, obviously, you know, as a single guy, and if any of them ever tried to hook up with me, I wouldn't say no. Like I would obviously do it, but I wouldn't initiate.
But not when you were in a relationship.
Obviously not in a relationship. No.
Well, that's what's interesting, because like, I'm like, I have so many wonderful guy friends, but I also know that if I was like, they'd be like, yes, 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
And like that makes me feel uncomfortable sometimes. I don't know. And that makes me feel like it's not like that girls and guys can't be friends. Cause like one of them always kind of is, I don't know, but so like they can be friends, but not best friends.
You're scared to have that much. You're scared to have that much power.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause I don't want it. Cause like I'm, you know, in this relationship that hopefully will be, you know, long last. And it's like, I wouldn't necessarily want my boyfriend to be friends with someone that I know was like down for him. If he turned around, everyone was like down for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think an important thing though, is that those friends like do respect your boyfriend and like, you know, his friends respect you in that sense, you know?
Totally. Yeah. That's very important. Okay, this is interesting. I almost want to answer it and then you guys tell me if you agree. This girl says, a guy says I'm pretty and then I say he's handsome, but then they stop being interested. Why? The pretty / handsome thing has happened twice now. What gives? I would say to her, stop telling guys they're handsome. And I'll tell you why. It's not because you can't compliment a guy. You totally can when they're your boyfriend. But if someone's pursuing you and they're like, oh my God, you're so pretty. And you're like, oh my God, and you're so handsome. It's like, no, stop fucking this dynamic up. Let him like compliment you and like dote over you and pursue you. And then later you can be like, by the way, now that I know your insecurities, I just want you to know you look really handsome tonight, honey. But in the process of him pursuing you, I don't think there's any reason that you need to give him the compliment back and reciprocate that. Just let him like give it to you. And you know, you could be like, thank you. I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. You're spot on. Handsome, so much more of like a boyfriend kind of thing anyway. You know what I mean? Like, honey, you look so handsome tonight. And like, obviously, you know, the guy, if you send back, you know, oh, you look pretty. If you just send back thanks, that guy is going to, like, obviously he's going to be more interested. He doesn't want to hear he's handsome.
Totally.
If he's just, you know,
I completely disagree. I couldn't disagree more.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. If a girl compliments a guy and he just says thanks, like if a girl says, oh, you're very handsome, my response 10 times out of 10 is going to be like, you look great. You look very pretty tonight.
Yeah, as it should be. But they shouldn't be telling you that anyway.
Okay.
I disagree. I think if I told a girl, if I went up to a girl and I said, you look really pretty tonight, and she said, thank you, I would not talk to her.
That's crazy. And I don't believe you.
And I think I've actually done it. I would just think that's so rude. Like,
I'm not saying you wouldn't talk to her. At the time, but I'm saying like, okay, like then like later the night gets on later and you're still in the back of your mind, you're just like, that fucking bitch.
Yeah.
But then like, you know what? But then at the end of the day, but then you keep pursuing.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter how handsome I think a guy is and how into a guy I am. If a guy comes up to me and says, you look so pretty tonight, I would never, ever, unless they were my boyfriend, say, thank you. You look so handsome. I would 100%. Just say, thank you. That's so sweet. Like, I really appreciate that or something. Like, I wouldn't be a dick, but like, I would never tell them they're handsome just because they said I'm pretty.
Yeah.
But, you don't have to say it like in a petty way, but like I think that takes balls, like a guy to like walk up to you and tell you look pretty. I don't think like that many guys do that, you know. I think a lot of guys are more like timid about it. And I want to ask you, because this is like kind of on the same topic, and I've debated this with my friends a lot too. Like, if let's say I'm single and you came up to me and said, hey, Johnny, like my friend thinks you're really cute. Like a lot of guys feel like that adds more pressure to like go talk to that girl. But for me, I'm like, oh, like this girl already thinks I'm attractive. I don't have any pressure. I can talk to her later on the night. I can enjoy my night. And I know this girl is already attracted to me. Like, what do you think about that? I feel like that's kind of the same vibe as your question.
It's so funny because every time I went up to a guy and I was like, my friend thinks you're really cute, like they were not interested, which I don't know what that means necessarily. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, if I were the friend who told my friend to go up to you and tell you that, which like sounds really immature, I would be kind of pissed if you didn't come up to me right away.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I guess for me, like, I don't know. I feel like if I already know that like that person is just attracted to me, like, and it's, let's say, like, I guess it depends on the time of the night. You know, if it's like 12:30, 1 o'clock, I'll probably walk up to her and talk to her. But if it's like 9:30, 10, like I'm going to try to enjoy my night. And then like, I know later on when I get a little more liquid courage in me, I'll go talk to her.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, as long as you're talking to her, that's kind of all that matters.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't ignore her.
And Max, this one's for you as a single guy in the mix. What makes a girl stand out on the first date?
I mean, the biggest thing for me is I want to make someone laugh. So if I can't make a girl laugh, it's probably not going to work out. So like if the entire time, if I'm like swinging and missing with jokes or just like, you know, with my like, I guess, quirkiness, I need to make someone laugh.
So her understanding your sense of humor makes her stand out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like the bar is a little low there, but...
Well, that's like my, like, I guess my, like, one, that's my one thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard his joke, Lindsay. How much time into the date do you run out of like, all right, 2 minutes, she hasn't laughed, like, that's it?
Oh, no, it's not even like that. I don't know. I try and, like, spin off just situations in, like, a humorous way, like a funny way.
Hmm.
And I don't know.
No, I like that. I think if you have a unique sense of humor and someone gets it, then perfect. So I think this is one of the girls, Johnny, that you quarantined with. Her question was, how was quarantining with 8 girls for 60 days? But I'm going to change it. So for backstory, Johnny was in quarantine with his girlfriend and her, I guess, roommates. But my question changes. My question is, after quarantining for 60 days with 8 girls, what did you learn about women that you never knew before?
I love this question. I'm so happy you asked it. Girls just constantly, like, I thought I'd be sitting on the couch and they'd be like talking about which guys are hot and like who they want to hook up with and all that stuff. But it's just constantly judging other girls. Like, that's the premise of every conversation. Like, it's actually insane that, like, and my girlfriend and all of them said this, but kind of what we just talked about, if a guy walks up to a girl and says she's really pretty, it doesn't mean shit to the girl. But if a girl walked up to another girl and said she looks really pretty, they take that to heart. Like, that makes the girl so happy if another girl compliments them, as opposed to a guy doing it. It doesn't mean shit. But like, when girls kind of give each other compliments, it's like the best thing in the world. And I know, you know, we see a lot of girls commenting on their friends' Instagrams, like, oh my God, you look beautiful, blah, blah, blah. But like, actually, like, in person and commenting them in person, it like literally will make their night. Like, if Ellie, you know, what?
I was gonna say that could go back and forth though. Like, some girl could just be doing it out of like out of spite or whatever. It's like,
I even feel the same way as a guy. Like, if a guy comes up to me and says that I look really good, I know I look good if a guy's telling me that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is interesting because you started it as if you were gonna say that girls are like tearing each other down, but then your example was like girls complimenting each other is amazing. So,
well, it goes both ways.
Right. So then what's the part that you were kind of starting with? Like, you said they're judging other girls. Like, are they sitting there talking shit about like their friends? Are they talking about like influencers? Like,
I would say it's like other people in their same like social pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like comparing to like different towns, different schools. Like, at the time, like, we were seniors in college, so it's like, you know, you're talking about other schools and sororities and towns and all that stuff. So it's kind of like, you know, like, and okay, so I guess I'll give this example, but like, it was senior year of college, so everyone's taking their like graduation photos. So they were just like, they're laughing behind me, I think, but they're like comparing what they're gonna wear to what those girls wear to what those girls wear to what food they had catered for their graduation party.
Oh, that's, it's like
all this different shit. Yeah.
Look at the data at Florida State. I could already take pictures.
And I'm like, really, I'm just throwing on the one collared shirt I have, and I'm taking a fucking picture.
That's so funny. Okay. I'm going to ask one more question that was submitted, and then we're going to go to some rapid fire. This is just silly, but I'll ask it. Do guys only follow girls on social media in case they break up with their... Oh, yeah. In case the boys break up with their... Yeah. Girl. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, not... That's the biggest piece of... Yeah, that's the biggest bullshit.
But I have had people like unfollow me once I like post with a boyfriend before. But then it's like, bye.
Yeah, but 100% there's people out there like that. Yeah. From your standpoint, for sure. Like, you know, like you have a big following, stuff like that. I'm sure there's guys slotting in your DMs all the time. So the minute they see that you're off the market, they're like, fuck this. So, you know, like, I'm not listening to We Met at Acme anymore.
That's hilarious. Okay, wait, I lied. One more question. Someone asked thoughts on mama's boys. Are you guys, do you consider yourself mama's boys? I know Cappy, not so much, or maybe.
Why not me?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know. You're like, I left home.
Well, you know, I was a big mama's boy. I feel like all Jewish like boys are mama's boys, honestly, like right. A majority of one I talked to. But yeah, just like, leaving away from home when I was 15. But the thing is, every year I came back, I was treated like I was 15 years old, like back in like Florida, like because I never left. So like they think I'm like a different human being half the time.
Yeah.
I was raised by different people.
I'm a big mama's boy.
Max?
Yeah, I would say I'm a pretty big mama's boy.
Yeah, three Jews, three mama's boys.
Lindsay, I think you'll appreciate this story. I know we had you on before. I went on a vacation with Ellie's family to Italy, and I was playing hockey like in a men's league, and my mom actually called Ellie about packing my suitcase for the trip. She wanted to make sure I had all the right outfits picked out. And I didn't even, Ellie like texted me like, "Were you with your mom?" And I was like, "No, why?" She's like, "She just called me about like planning your outfits for the trip."
That's really cute. Oh my fucking That's God. Really cute. My boyfriend's mom helps me like make his favorite meals and bake his favorite things. It's
love
really
that.
Cute.
Love that.
Okay, rapid fire. Should you know how much porn your significant other watches? Yes or nope? They have the right to privacy.
I'd say nope. Right, they have the right
to
privacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless like weird shit.
Yeah. Unless it's affecting like your sex life or like
right. When you're in a relationship, do you plan out alone time, like going to see a friend for a day so that you can both have some space? Yes or no?
I think it's a different scenario because you live with your boyfriend, I feel like, right? Or yeah. this question isn't for you, but like, you know, I don't live with my girlfriend. So I feel like we constantly do have some separate plans. And I think that's important also. Like, you know, one thing that we always like kind of talk about is like having our own lives and then our life together. I think it's like a huge thing to be happy. Like there's nothing worse than the friend who like gets the girlfriend or gets the boyfriend and just like disappears, you know?
Yeah. But that's also possible when you live with someone.
Yeah.
To what?
To like have your own lives and your lives together.
Oh yeah. Well, I think that's the best thing about living with a significant other is like you always end the night together. So you can kind of like do whatever you want in the meantime. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. Do you believe in soulmates? Yes or no?
I do.
Like, I believe in soulmates, but I don't believe like there's like one person out there for everybody. If that's what soulmates means, I don't know.
I believe soulmates like, should be friends, even though I think friends should be soulmates.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's like weird. I kind of thought about this the other night. It's like weird. It's like I'm from Florida. So like my soulmate could be in like Northern, you know, Europe, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I wouldn't even know that they're just on this planet in Northern Europe. But like,
I would love
like,
to meet your Northern European soulmate. No,
Max, what do you think?
So I do, but I don't think it's just limited to one. I think that you can have multiple soulmates.
I agree. Multiple soulmates. And Johnny, you mentioned it briefly. Your soulmates can be friends as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I like that explanation now. Then I believe in soulmates now.
Guys, do Northern you generally Europe. Have sex with your partner when they're on their period? Yes or no?
Generally, no. Occasionally, maybe in the shower if it happens, but like not often, no.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Same. It's fun. Does a reaction to your text on an iPhone count as a reply? Yes or no?
Oh, I say absolutely not.
Really?
Wow.
Like, are you talking about like if they love it, they thumbs up it? I mean, this is funny with actually one of my best friends. We all sent him like a birthday text and we also have like other group chats with him, but he never said thank you. He just like loved the message.
Oh yeah, that's like, not cool.
Right, that's not responding. That like I don't. Yeah.
You really care though.
No, I don't. We were just making fun of him. To be honest, I don't care.
I agree with you. I don't think that's a response, and like you should take the time to thank your friends for happy birthday. But I think in dating banter, like it suffices as a reply.
Well, that's been the best thing ever. Like that's such an easy way to end a conversation now. Like,
right. Exactly. You know,
it's kind of, I think it's nice. Like I like when someone like hearts my message as opposed to like saying something and then I have to respond again, you know?
Right. It's just annoying. Okay. We totally went over. We're going to end with a quote or piece of advice. If anyone has one, whoever's first, just shoot it out there to the world.
I always go by good thoughts make good things happen. And like the example I use is like, you know, if you're going out with a group of friends that you don't really know and you know, don't really want to go out with them, you like think beforehand, oh, this is going to suck. Like, I don't even know them. Chances are it's probably going to suck. If you go in like, oh, this is like a chance to meet new people and have fun, it's going to be fun. Like it's like a lot of it. I've learned this through the years, like just your mentality going into something. If you just automatically think something's going to be good, chances are it probably will be better than if you think it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I like that.
Never put all your eggs in one basket. Try as many things as possible, both in personal, business, whatever it is. Try as many things as possible. See what works, see what doesn't, learn from it. And move on.
Love that. Cappy?
I guess I'll say if first you don't succeed, try again. Because, I mean, I've dealt with a lot of adversity through hockey and everything like that, getting cut and whatnot. And I guess perseverance sometimes pays off. So that's my little piece of advice.
Love it. Where can everyone find you guys? Follow you on Instagram. Listen to the Locker Room.
At the Locker Room. TheLatkeroom. That's where we are.
Love it. Thank you so much, guys. This was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.